Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other podcast platforms. Regardless of how you listen, do be sure that you're subscribing to this show so you get every episode automatically every week. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there's links there as well to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So please be sure to like, follow, etc. on those platforms. You can engage with other listeners and post prayer requests, post your comments about the show, other thoughts and observations in the Facebook group, which is called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that too on the website. Please help me spread the word about Catholic Sports Radio. I'd be most grateful if you would tell others about the show as I continue trying to get the word out and bring more listeners to CSR. And by the way, if this is your first time listening, thank you. And I do encourage you to go back and listen to previous episodes of Catholic Sports Radio. There have been a lot of great guests, a lot of great testimony. In terms of my ministry moment for this episode, as the NBA season gets underway this week, I'm thinking of the players who dive for loose balls, meaning the ones that you see going headfirst into the sidelines, either into the players' bench or into the spectators who are seated at courtside. And you'll hear teammates or coaches talk about plays like that, and they say, that's how he plays. He's willing to sacrifice his body for us. And while heart and hustle are great qualities and very important to have, we are blessed to know the gift of Jesus in his body that he sacrificed for us. As cliched as it might be to hear athletes or coaches referencing a player sacrificing their body to help his team win, we cannot lull ourselves into just being used to hearing the words of the priest at Mass during the consecration, because they help remind us of Jesus' words from Luke 22. Then he took the bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which will be given up for you. Do this in memory of me." That, my friends, is the ultimate sacrifice, and it allows us to remain one with him in the Eucharist. Moving on, today on episode 38, my guest has been seen on EWTN television and heard on EWTN radio. He is a champion of numerous surfing events. He is also a licensed scuba diver and licensed private pilot. Plus, he is a skydiver and has rappelled off mountains. He has even been a mentor on the adventure reality show Clean Break on the Fox Network, as well as been a guest star and stuntman on Hawaii Five-0. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, Bruce. Good to be on your show. Thank you.
Yes, and I love all the coincidences already of two guys sitting in different parts of Florida right now. BW, Bear Wozniak and Bruce Wozniak.
Yeah, that's pretty close.
Couple of Catholic guys. Let's just dive right in here. That's quite a list of sporting endeavors I just read off. But still, though, you put a high priority on new evangelization, challenging and equipping men. Talk about that.
Well, every Catholic is an evangelist. And we're all called to be evangelists. But in the new evangelization, I see so many men have kind of lost interest in the church because they see it as sort of a feminized or almost a gender-neutral situation when they walk into church. They don't identify with a lot of the other more passive type men that are in the pews, to be honest with you. But we know that men have this desire to be with other men. They're lonely. They struggle with a lot of inner fear and lack of confidence, and they don't want to open up and be vulnerable with other men. And so we see in the church that we need to have, we need to represent what true manliness is. And so in our ministry, you know, we ride motorcycles, our TV show on EWTN Long Ride Home, and then on my radio show, The Bear Wozniak Adventure. We interview men who are gritty, who are real, who are genuine, but have this powerful love for Jesus. You know, you cannot be a wimp and love Jesus. And every single disciple, all but one of them were martyred. So through history, there's nothing more heroic than being a Christian. And as men especially, we need to just show them what a great adventure it is to be a Christian. As in our ministry, Deep Adventure Ministries, our creed is that the most radical thing you can do in life is abandon yourself to the wild adventure of God's will. There's nothing more exciting or thrilling or wild than listening in the morning, tuning into the Lord, maybe through the liturgy of the hours or the Mass, praying the rosary, and then seeing God open doors and close doors and seeing walls fall down as you pursue his will. Abandoning yourself to his will like when you drop into a 24-foot wave at Waimea. Let it own you. Let him own you.
Beautiful. Well, let's just give some background here. Lifelong Catholic, but I'm going to let you kind of educate the listeners because I know that you had a couple of landmark events in your life and your faith walk that brought you to and from Jesus. So tell the listeners what I'm referring to.
I would just say, I know I was raised as a Catholic. I loved going to, I think it was Wednesday afternoon catechisms with the nuns, and I would get the holy cards. I just loved it. But I never got a grown-up version of my faith. When I was in college, I began to really hunger for God. It was like, God, you know, if you're there, you're kind of like a real remote father who maybe sends child support checks, but I would like to know you and be in a personal relationship with you. Mm. And I was fortunate enough to be invited by my mother. She said if I'd go to this prayer meeting with her, she'd give me that pair of blue jeans I needed, and I was struggling paying my way through college. And I went there, and I saw there's a Catholic Charismatic meeting back in 73. I was fortunate enough to be in that same place a week ago in Waco, Texas, the basement of St. Louis Catholic Church, where all that kind of happened. And at one point, I said, these people really, when they pray, I pray as a religious act, but they seem to really feel like there's a two-way dialogue going on here. And I want whatever they have, I want. And so I told them that, and they said, well, you know, you really need to think about this because this is a total abandonment to God's will. It's not just a little optional extra you add on to the rest of your life. And so as the week went on, I became more, just went through the process of really hungering for God. And then when they prayed for me, there was this powerful infusion of God's love that just seemed like just to fill my whole soul. It was like God came in and forgave me. And his light just filled me. And then he was like, I'm going to go over into this corner and open up this cabinet. I'm going to go over to this closet and open up this door. And I'm going to forgive you and shine light everywhere. And from that moment, all I could do was tell people the good news. I was on fire. Actually, I just wanted to die.
Wow.
But I, if you were sitting at a cafeteria table at Baylor University and there was no one else with you, I was going to join you and you were going to hear the good news. It's so funny because all my Baptist friends were praying for me. And when they came back after the end of the summer and they heard I had a great conversion experience, and I go, yeah, do you want to hear me pray in tongues? And they're like, oh my gosh, we got to pray for this guy. The other, tone him down a little bit. But then, you know, I guess I was really hungry for more of the Lord and I had been under catechized. I didn't know about the early church fathers. I didn't know about Augustine or Aquinas. Mm. And I just thought, I'm hungry and I want more. And the only people I knew that were going deeper with God were non-denominational people. And they would give me books to read that were no more than 250 years old, you know? Mm-hmm. And so eventually, no insult to my friends in the non-denominational or evangelical world. I mean, I had a miraculous back healing at a non-denominational church. I had severe back pain for 13 years. Wow. It would disable me for weeks at a time where I couldn't move. Mm. And the Lord miraculously healed my back. And now I'm a world champion tandem surfer. And that's where you lift a woman while you surf and you put her into very acrobatic overhead lifts. And glory to God. When I won that world title, by the way, it was the beginning of my ministry because I asked my friend Melody Green, her husband and her, one of the first Christian rock musicians back in the day. I go, this is a dangerous thing for me because it's vainglory. And she says, no, that'll be your platform to open your ministry.
Beautiful.
And so, and she said, and you got to write a book. And she outlined the book for me. And I go, I already wrote that book. I'm writing it right now. That book was picked up by a major publisher. And then the book opened the door for radio ministry. And the radio ministry then kind of went from one radio station to hundreds of radio stations on the EWTN network. And then I began to speak. And then we developed our TV show. My son and I have always done videos together. He's an action videographer. He did a lot of surf videos. So I worked with my sons to create Long Ride Home on TV. But when I left the church, it wasn't like I left the church. Honestly, I feel the church left me because I was hungry, ready, and wanting. Mm-hmm. And the church that I went to wasn't able to give that to me. Mm. But fortunately, my father became a deacon in the Catholic Church. My mother and my father, all my family had this conversion experience all within a week of each other, all six of us. They pursued the diaconate, and my dad sent me this beautiful book by, oh my gosh, Stephen Ray. I first met him in Jerusalem and bumped into him while I was on a pilgrimage there. And he wrote the book Crossing the Tiber. When I found the early church fathers, I could show you right now the top set of volumes on my bookshelf is the writings of the early church fathers. Then after that, it's all the writings of the about the primitive church. I have the commentaries on the scriptures from the early church fathers. I have Jerome. I have, oh my gosh, once you tap in to the depth and breadth of Catholic teaching, it's like paddling out into the deep, deep ocean. I mean, you can't go deep enough. You can't go wide enough. I go, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to read all of Aquinas and all Augustine. And I go, oh, you can't do that in 6 months. That's going to be years, you know? So the depth, oh, I was so hungry. And I was just like, is that all there is? And I was swimming in the shallow end of the pool. Now I'm paddling out into the deep. And I'm so grateful, not just for the depth of teaching, but for the sacraments. And all that has just come so to life to me.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Yeah, I'm glad that you started to mention, listeners, I actually left something out of the intro, which is that Bear has authored two books, one of which is an Amazon bestseller. But actually, Bear, I did want you to just talk a little bit about your other book, which is called Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue.
Yeah, you know, when the Lord first started calling me to the radio ministry, I was with Jamie Dierzopolsky, and he had a show. He was the drive-home guy on Spirit FM in Tampa, and he used to interview me once a week. He really dug on my first book because it's Deep in the Wave, A Surfing Guide to the Soul, and we became friends, and we were praying. I had this vision of a guy in a black pickup truck, and vision is overstating it, but I had this image in my mind of the guy in the black pickup truck. And he was driving along this gravel road turning, and he was just spinning his wheels. He didn't have any traction. And it's because there was no weight in the back of the truck. You know how the guys in the black pickup trucks, some of them are like they call Texas Cadillacs, but the real ones have maybe a big box of tools in the back or something that gives it some weight.
Right.
And the Lord told me, that's the guy I want you to talk to, the guy in the black pickup truck, and challenge him and give him direction, give him some traction in the virtues. And then I'll tell you, 3 days later, I was telling one of my friends, Dennis, here in Cocoa Beach, where we had just come in from surfing, and there was, at that time, the area we came in at had a gravel parking lot, and this guy in a black pickup truck comes pulling through the parking lot, but he's got that heavy toolbox in the back, so the truck is moving, not spinning its wheels and kicking gravel everywhere. He's checking out the surf, and then he turns and leaves, and he rolls down the back window in a wild bobcat. Or I guess domestic. I don't think it ever domesticated a bobcat, but a bobcat stuck its head out the window.
Wow.
And I go, that's it. There's nothing more wild, and God is wild, and he is dangerous than abandoning yourself to God's will. So since that time, my focus, one of my major focuses has been to challenge people, men especially, in the seven virtues. The people who follow me the most, by the way, are women. They're like, they're trying to get their men to this, to our messages. But
wow.
The four cardinal virtues, the three heroic virtues. I even have our own line of cigars. We have, I call them the seven virtue cigars. And each of the cigars has one of the virtues in Latin, like coraggio, and then fortitude for that particular virtue. And then the painting of the Renaissance painting of the woman that represents that. But when you want to peel the label, there's a quote from my book in there. And so many men will invite friends over, share cigars. I've seen it happen many times and heard about it, when they'll unpeel those labels and suddenly that's an evangelistic moment, and they're digging deeper. And that's why we have, like, in our ministry, we have Bear's Man Cave, where people can sign up through my website, and then they join this secret Facebook group. You can't join by going through Facebook. And I have a group of men, and we challenge each other, we encourage each other, we inspire each other, we dialogue with each other in that secret Facebook group. And then two nights ago, we had the Bear's Man Cave video chat. We have a big video chat every 2 or 3 weeks, so all the men can get together and we can talk with each other, you know, video. Men need to get together. We need to challenge each other, and we need brotherhood.
Something else that you do, and it's not as rigorous as rappelling off mountains, but you also lead pilgrimages to some key locations in Europe, meaning Greece and Israel.
Well, we've done Greece and we've done Israel. The next one that we're doing is the Bahamas. And I know that sounds funny, but we're actually Cindy and I are having a luau here in December. Of course, my wife does hula, and she's going to teach a little bit of hula. We may do a tandem surfing exhibition or take people out, teach them how to surf. We'll go on a Renegade Rosary run. We'll do a motorcycle run too. But then the next day we get on a ship, and with my pastor, Father Scott Searcy at Holy Name of Jesus, we're going to get on that ship. We're going to go into the Bahamas because we are an adventure ministry, right?
Sure.
We're going to go into the Bahamas, and we're going to go through the seven virtues while that we're on that four-night cruise we chose. We chose like the least expensive cruise, but it's the ship that I went out on for 21 days, three consecutive cruises without any everyone else on the boat with me, inside cabin, didn't drink at all, didn't get even hardly off the ship. I cloistered myself and wrote that book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue.
Outstanding. Well, that conjures up images of listeners. If you've seen the Meet the Host page in the About section of CatholicSportsRadio.net, or heck, if you heard the first ever episode of this show, you know that I am an oblate to the St. Leo Abbey in Central Florida. And Bear, you are a Benedictine oblate also.
Yes. I haven't been to that monastery yet, but it's so funny because the monastery that I'm an oblate with, Mary, Spouse of the Holy Spirit Monastery in the North Shore of Oahu, but they go all the way back to me when I was 19 years old. There was a monastery in Pecos, New Mexico that was instrumental in the charismatic renewal in the southwest part of the United States. And there was a brother there who's now a priest and a nun there, Father Michael and Sister Mary Jo, and they meant so much to me. And then it turns out those two came to the North Shore of Oahu and helped establish a new Benedictine monastery there maybe 30 years ago. And so, of course, I had my reunion with them and began to go there. And I said, I want to be a Benedictine. And they're like, okay. But I was like the longest white belt, I call it. You know, when you're a novitiate?
Mm-hmm.
It took them like 10 years to go, okay, you can become an oblate now. But I love the Benedictine life. And I love the liturgy of the hours, living the liturgy of the hours through the day. And understanding detachment and not focusing on the things of this world, but just desiring God.
And how. Well, listeners, Bear has something in common with a couple of past guests that I've had on. Before I say who they are and what their commonalities are, this episode is being released the week that I go to Michigan to speak at the second Global Congress on Sport and Christianity, which is a reminder that you too can bring me in as a speaker for your event, whether that's a sports night, a parish mission, a men's conference, a diocesan event, or something else where my Catholic Sports Radio ministry, where my faith and sports background are a fit. Look for the Request Bruce as a Guest Speaker form on the website to start that conversation. And then also on CatholicSportsRadio.net, if you enjoy the show, if it's helping your faith life, if you believe in what I'm doing, if you enjoy it and want to help out, I would appreciate your support, your help. I am just a one-man show taking this all on by myself and not getting a paycheck to produce, host, and edit this show every week, which means that all the expenses are having to come out of my pocket. So if you feel I'm giving you something each week that you'd like to support, utilize the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net, which will give you the opportunity to contribute in whatever amount you wish, securely, online. And by the way, I'm happy to give you a shout-out for doing so, either on social media or even on the show if you wish, or of course it can remain anonymous. And also, for those that don't like the idea of putting credit card information online, just email me, bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net, and we'll get you an address to send a check or money order to via U.S. mail. Otherwise, look for the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Pray about it. See if this ministry might be somewhere that God is moving you to tithe. So I started to mention episodes 10, 8, and 5 of Catholic Sports Radio featured interviews with Pat McCaskey, Chris Ledyard, and Joe DeLamalure, respectively, all three of which are in the Sports Faith Hall of Fame. And Bear, 4 years ago, you too were one of the inductees.
Yeah, you know, have you had Jesse Romero on your show yet?
No.
Oh, because I was inducted with him. He used to be a boxer. It was so funny because Pat McCaskey, you know, introduced me. He's one of the owners of the Chicago Bears. And I was saying, you know, the main thing as an athlete is do what you really love. Follow your dreams and give your heart and soul to that sport. And, do what you love. And I said, you know, Jesse Romero liked to beat up people, and I just love surfing. You know, so I was messing with Jesse.
Speaking of guests on this show having things in common, back on episode 30, the guest was triathlete Joe Paterick, and the day before he and I recorded that interview, he had completed a 240-mile bike trek from his home in Milwaukee to a Catholic school in Michigan. And wow, Bear, you pedaled your bicycle from the Pacific Ocean to the Atlantic Ocean, San Diego, California to Jacksonville, Florida. When was that? How long did it take?
Oh, and I think that was 2001. It took me 27 days to go 2,500 miles.
Wow.
And it, you know, when you do something like that, it's not a physical event. It's a mental thing. It's like you can push the pedal down one more. More difficult, probably the most difficult thing I ever did was paddle the channel between the island of Molokai'i and the island of Oahu. I used to have a home on Molokai'i. My parents were there, and I paddled that, one of the most treacherous passages in the world. And that I had to start out at like 4:30 in the morning before sunrise. I had a compass on my surfboard, and as I headed across that channel, I can't even tell you how many elements there are: crosswinds, cross currents, big swells, lunar tides. But I saw the full moon, and as I paddled, and I saw that my compass was aiming at the moon, so I just followed the moon until it set into the crater at Coco Head in the island of Oahu. But by far, that was the most daunting experience of my life. But if I rested a total of maybe a minute to 2 minutes on the whole ride. Once you rested, you were drifting backwards or away or sideways. So it was like 10 hours and 19 minutes of just paddling. Gosh. But, you know, my sensei, when I got my ninja black belt, he used to say you can do one more of anything. And so in the life of one of the virtues of fortitude, it's just about putting your head down and just doing one more paddle stroke, one more pedal. It reminds me of a running back, you know, the fullback getting the ball at the goal line. Lower your head and just with determination grind it out. There's also that other side of fortitude, which is hope, the theological virtue of hope, which is kind of more like a wide receiver sprinting on a post route, looking up and looking for that long ball. But, yeah, just determination and the power of the Holy Spirit to keep you going. But that journey, that pedaling across the United States, if people read my book, you'll find out in that passage a tremendous transformation in my soul took place, too.
Well, and as people can tell, you are quite the adventurer, and there's, in my opinion at least, a lot of danger involved in a lot of what you do. I imagine you clearly must be in constant dialogue with the Lord in the lead up to starting a lot of those adventures, if not during.
Well, you know, I have so many friends. Like, my son has surfed 85-foot surf on the North Shore. Jeremiah Wozniak has surfed, was towed into these waves by my friend, who I named Crazy Todd, and you probably can see why. But people who ride big waves, or people that my wife has been a skydiver. I'm not a certified skydiver, but I've probably jumped maybe a dozen times. But people who do that, there's nothing about a death wish in them. Before you paddle out in big surf, you time the sets, you look for where the swell direction is coming from. Is there one or two swells? What's the wave interval? Is there any deep channel? Where's the place I can go to safety? But there's something about that moment, like paddling into a big wave at Waimea, which only breaks when it's at least 24 feet. When you paddle out, the first thing is you got to paddle with all your might to get off the beach. There's the shore break there is deadly, and you got to paddle with all your might just to get off the beach. And the first 300 or 400 yards, you get out past the shore break, and then you're in the rip. And the rip tide is your friend. It's like a chairlift. It takes you out about a quarter of a mile to where the break is. But that's the first lesson of spirituality, is detachment. You got to turn your back on the world. On the land, things change constantly. The beach changes. There's maybe a rusty car there 1 week. The next week, there's a new house coming up. But in the ocean, it pretty much stays the same. So when you get out there, that's the first lesson, is turn your back in that Benedictine way of not needing a lot and pursuing God. But once you get out there and you're waiting for the wave, surfers are the great sentinels, my mom used to say. You sit and you look out to the ocean. You're not looking back at the land. You're looking at the ocean. And if there's a really big killer set coming that's going to kill you, you don't paddle towards the ocean. You paddle towards that wave and try to get over it. That's where the safety is beyond those big waves. But eventually, resting in the Lord like you would during meditative prayer, waiting on the wave, when it comes, then you paddle with all your might. And you always have to paddle with all your might. And you always drop in at the peak of that wave. You don't catch it at the bottom of the wave. You catch it on the peak. And that to me is intercessory prayer. Just praying like the rosary, intercessory prayer. That's my great weapon when I pray intercessory prayer. But then you drop in, and once you drop into a 24-foot or bigger wave, that wave owns you. You've abandoned yourself to that. And that's that moment of knowing that you've really let go and just abandoned yourself to God's will. But as you go down that wave, you can go drop in so powerfully that it shoots you so far out the face of the wave down the line that you've outrun the wave and you've outrun the power. And now the wave, when it catches up with you, is just going to jump on you. So surfers know to do a cutback and always stay in the power source of that wave, which is like we do all throughout the day, remembering the Lord and asking the Lord for his direction. But the ultimate thing for a surfer is to be locked into the tube, to be totally covered. And that's our goal, is just to be hidden in Christ. And after you've ridden a wave like that and you get to the beach, you know what people say to you? They don't say, wow, you are really an awesome surfer. I've never heard that. They say, that was an awesome wave. So by being a Christian and really living the life of the Spirit, you can show people the wave of God's glory. By living the Christian life, maybe people won't look at you, but they'll look past you like a finger pointing to a beautiful sunset. Don't look at the finger, look at the sunset. Maybe people will see you like that as a pointer that reveals the beauty and the glory and the love of God.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Bear, we're out of time. Just one quick final question. This is probably me being Captain Obvious, but listeners, if you haven't been able to figure out by now, Bear lives in both Hawaii and here in Florida. I have to imagine that both locations really lend themselves to a strong connection with God because of his beauty being all around you every day. Am I right? And that only helps you strengthen your faith life and staying connected to him?
Well, that's true, but the most beautiful thing in my life other than the sacraments is my wife, and she amazes me every day. And her inner beauty and her strength and her power, that's what draws me. Reminds me constantly what a blessing I have in her. It's not the palm trees or the big surf. It's having that beautiful bride in my life.
Awesome. Awesome. Bear, wonderful to talk to you. God bless you and all that you're doing for his kingdom. It's just tremendous. And keep up the great work, my friend. And prayers as well. I know that you're about to head into a surf competition this weekend.
Yeah, thank you. We just go out and have fun. It's romantic for us. We like that. We drop into a wave and I lift her over my head. I bring her down. I give her a kiss. And then we surf into the sand. There's nothing better than that. It's just the beauty of the sport.
It's beautiful. Thanks for your time. Great to have you on.
Okay, my brother. Aloha.
Listeners, we'll close, as always, with a prayer. We haven't done this one in a while. This is the athlete's prayer. This is the one that has some rhyming qualities to it. So let's do that together in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Help me to play the game, dear Lord, with all my might and main. Grant me the courage, born of right, a heart to stand the strain. Send me a sense of humor, Lord, to laugh when victory is mine, to laugh if I should meet defeat without a fret or whine. Give me the grace to follow rules, to fess up when I'm wrong, when silence or some other thing wins plaudits from the throng. When foes are tough and fighting fierce and I am getting weak, dear God, don't ever let me show a broad, bright, yellow streak. And teach me, Lord, life's game to play just one day at a time. With thee as coach and trainer, Lord, real victory must be mine. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Thank you so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I am Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.